Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NCAA Women's Championship second round continues today on ESPN2 with Notre Dame and Oklahoma at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Then Ohio State squares off against LSU. We cap off the night in the Greensboro region with North Carolina taking on Arizona. All games are also available on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere you want. Welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. I am Shay Cornett filling in for Greeny this morning. And yes, it is time to get up with another stunning quarterback move. Deshaun Watson to Cleveland. But what does it all mean for the Browns? And now what happens to Baker Mayfield going forward? Plus, Devontae Adams, he said goodbye to the Green Bay Packers. We'll tell you exactly what he had to say as he walked out of Green Bay and said goodbye to the green and gold. And the AFC, absolutely loaded, but not everyone can make the playoffs. We'll give you one team that will be left out in the cold that we might not all agree on. So we start with the blockbuster trade that shook the NFL world over the weekend. The Browns traded 5 draft picks, including 3 first rounders, to the Texans in exchange for Deshaun Watson. The Browns immediately gave Watson a $230 million contract, all guaranteed, the most in NFL history. So here is how the trade breaks down. The Browns get Watson in a 2024 fifth round pick. The Texans get first round picks in 2022, 2023, and 2024, as well as a 2023 third round pick and a 2024 fourth round pick. So now that we have been able to dissect all of this and digest all of it, and hello and good morning to Mike Tannenbaum and Kimberly Martin. We'll get to you in just a second. But Jeremy, I want to know, how was this able to get pushed over the finish line?
Well, I've been checking on this morning, Shay, and here's what I was told, that Cleveland was looking into potentially Deshaun Watson acquisition back in like late December, early January during the regular season. They knew they could stick with Baker Mayfield, but they were looking at the quarterback landscape and potential solutions. And then Baker Mayfield makes the trade request during the week. Deshaun Watson tells Cleveland no, they thought they were out of it. Friday morning, they got word that he could have a change of heart, that maybe they could get this done somehow. So the contract got it done. Clearly, $230 million guaranteed, pushed that over the finish line. But they thought they were out, and then all of a sudden they had a chance. I was told it's not true that the Mayfield trade request heightened the urgency to get the Watson deal done.
Oh, not?
That Friday morning they got word that Watson would be in.
Oh, okay, not true. All right, Kmart, what did you hear in terms of reaction from around the league over the weekend in regards to this trade?
People are all over the place because there's a lot to unpack here. If you're Cleveland, like Jeremy was saying, this is not a spur-of-the-moment decision. This was months in the making. This franchise wanted to move on from Baker. The question was, who were they going to move on with? Because they were in on Russell Wilson. They were trying to get Russell Wilson. They were trying to get Deshaun Watson. So they were going to move on from Baker. But around the league, the question of 230, that's a lot of money to give one guy. But if you're going to decide that you want Deshaun Watson, and there were at least 8 teams that were seriously interested in Deshaun Watson, 4 or 5 might have had the draft picks to go get him. Once you make that decision, it seems like you're all in, because you're saying winning trumps everything.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike T, former GM yourself, what do you make of what Cleveland did here with this trade?
There's a fine line between being aggressive and reckless. This, to me, is reckless. Obviously, there's still 22 civil allegations out there that have to be dealt with, which is a very serious situation. Putting that aside for a moment, the salary cap in the NFL this year is $208 million for your entire team. Deshaun Watson, from a football standpoint, has an injury history. Going back to college, he missed a number of games with a finger injury. He also tore his ACL in a non-contact play at practice. The number one indicator of future injury is past injury. While I hope he doesn't get hurt, and I'm not saying it's likely he's going to get hurt, it's very plausible that he will get hurt based on the fact that he's been hurt in the past. Most NFL contracts, even as we saw with Aaron Rodgers or over the weekend with Matt Stafford, have risk involved. In those cases, about $150 million. But those burn off in the early years of the contract. This is a fully guaranteed contract for $230 million. Now, it may work out for them, But their margin for error is extremely small when you look at the money and no first-round pick for the next 3 years. So if he has any sort of injury or skill diminishment like we've seen with Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, they have no wiggle room.
All right, so no one can predict injuries, but my team makes a really good point. We also can't predict how many games Deshaun Watson will be playing this upcoming season. But when he is on the field with the current roster that the Browns have, how much of a difference can he make?
I think in the context of, okay, everything Mike just said is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we just say, okay, he's healthy, he's available to play, look, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. I mean, that's what he is. And so the upgrade at position is significant. And I think that there's probably a lot of people that believe that the quarterback position has held Cleveland back, not just this season, but honestly, in the franchise's history, it's held them back. And so how much better does he make them? I mean, he makes them significantly better. The upgrade at quarterback, I would argue, the upgrade at quarterback in Cleveland from Mayfield to Watson is more significant than the upgrade from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. And I thought that was a massive upgrade.
That's
so, it's that significant. He's one of the best quarterbacks in football. It is a huge risk. It has the potential of working out because he is that good.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is Deshaun Watson has done more with less in his career in Houston than probably any other quarterback, right, in the entire National Football League. We will see what happens going forward. But we want to get to some statements that the Browns released yesterday. And they were quite lengthy, and there were several of them. And so the Browns called their research and investigation into Deshaun Watson, including the allegations of sexual assault and sexual misconduct against him, quote, extensive. Watson is facing 22 civil lawsuits and a possible NFL suspension. Browns owners Dee and Jimmy Haslam released a statement which reads in part here, "We spent a tremendous amount of time exploring and investigating the opportunity to trade for Deshaun Watson. We are acutely aware and empathetic to the highly personal sentiments expressed about this decision. Our team's comprehensive evaluation process was of utmost importance due to the sensitive nature of the situation and the complex factors involved. We also understand that there are some legal proceedings that are ongoing, and we will respect due process." The Haslams later added this, quote, "We are confident in Deshaun and excited about moving forward with him as our quarterback and supporting his genuine and determined efforts." Okay, so that is the Brown side of things. Now, we also heard from Kevin Stefanski, and there were a few others. You know, who also spoke yesterday was the attorney for the 22 women. His name is Tony Busby. He says not a single NFL team has reached out to him or the women, and that would include the Cleveland Browns. And so he said yesterday, in part, "The Browns organization did not reach out to me. I didn't expect them to do so and can understand why they didn't. But knowing what I know, they probably should have." End quote. Okay, so now we have had a minute to obviously digest all of this. And so, Jeremy, when you take a step back and you realize no one contacted these women or Tony Busby, we read what the statements say in this comprehensive evaluation. How comprehensive was it if you didn't really check every box?
Yeah, we can take this at face value for what it is. In general terms, you don't give a quarterback $230 million because of the character. You're trying to win games. And I think you're trying to get high-level quarterback play. And that's really what this comes down to. Yes, the Browns, you know, they hired a private investigator. They outsourced this thing. They've worked on that for a few months. Probably should have contacted the attorney. Now, I did talk to some teams that were hesitant about that because if you contact the attorney, you don't know what he's going to go with publicly or how that
right.
might be spun. There was
right.
a little bit of concern about that. But really, the next ball to drop is the NFL investigation. A couple teams I talked to think that 6 games might be the sweet spot for what kind of suspension he gets. But the league is going to wait on the civil case here. And that's something Deshaun Watson could and has wanted to fight. You know, he could settle the case, certainly. But this could also drag out where he goes under testimony and things happen that way.
You know, I said this earlier, Kimberly, as you joined the conversation here. Like, it was disappointing to me that it took so long for these statements to be released. I understand there are things that have to be done before you can come forward and speak. But I would assume the Browns knew that there was going to be some backlash with this decision. And those statements should have been ready. And also, we use the term "say less" a lot, I feel like. Like, okay, say less. I got it. But like in this case, the Browns, they need to say more. We need to know more. What are you hearing in terms of this comprehensive and extensive background information that the Browns gathered?
Yeah, Shay, listen, all the teams that were doing due diligence on Deshaun Watson did express some concern about, you know, reaching out to the lawyer, Tony Busby, you know, the thought process being that, you know, their own counsel would advise against that. because, you know, that might be misconstrued as trying to interfere with a criminal investigation. Like Jeremy said, you don't know what he might repeat. Teams are trying to do research on the low, don't want other teams knowing that they're involved. But here's the thing that I tweeted over the weekend. There's reality and there's NFL reality. So the fact that all of these teams, before we knew that the grand jury was going to say there wasn't enough evidence to proceed with criminal charges, before all that, there were teams that wanted Deshaun Watson, despite the 22 civil cases that existed. And they were okay with that. They were okay with pursuing that. And no statement from any team, whether it was going to be Houston, Cleveland, Atlanta, the Saints, there's nothing any of these franchises could say in a statement that was going to make this move any more palatable. If you are just looking at the facts of there are 22 cases still unresolved, and nobody in any of these organizations can say, I 100% know exactly what happened, and I feel confident. You're just, all the Browns, they're hoping. They are hoping that, you know what, this is the end of it. You know, these 22 cases get resolved, and we can move forward with Deshaun and win Super Bowls. That is the hope. That is the expectation in Cleveland, because that's all they have, because they gave all that money to him.
I thought, not to take words out of your mouth, Kimberly, but I thought you said something really powerful this morning in our meeting, and you said there are 23 people that know exactly what happened here, right? And they aren't with the Browns. No, you know, I mean, I guess Deshaun Watson is one of them, but that would be really it. It has just been so long, and hopefully the NFL does have a decision in terms of what is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. Punishment or not, hopefully we'll know here soon. All right, coming up, Davante Adams wrote a long goodbye to Green Bay this weekend, but does his departure knock the Packers out of contention in the NFC? We'll figure it out. Plus, not everyone can make the playoffs in the loaded AFC. Wait till you hear which team our experts say will be missing out on postseason football.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
With a little bit of quarterback talk here, let's play a game of which QB would you take to win one game. Tim, I'll start with you. Justin Herbert or Russell Wilson?
Well, this stage, Russell's career, I'm going Justin Herbert. Jeremy said it earlier about how the team feels about him, you know, the Chargers, that is. I think the guy's a megastar. I think in terms of physical ability, he's on par with guys like Mahomes and Josh Allen. He's got excellent poise. I think he's just only going to improve and get better. I'm going Herbert.
All right, Jeremy, to you next. Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson? One QB to win one game.
Yeah, I'm going Watson. This is close, so I had to reach out to my man, Sneaky Hembo, get some stats here. Fourth quarter overtime, one score game since 2017. Watson ranks first in yards per attempt, third in completion percentage, third in QBR. So he's producing in big moments. Hasn't played in a year. Coming off a four-win season, so this isn't a necessarily compelling argument, but the precedent is there that he can get it done late in games. So can Lamar Jackson. Very close. I just trust Watson a little more as a passer in those situations.
All right, Mike T, to you next. Now, we saw these two QBs play each other not once but twice last year. Would you go Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I'd like to have both, but if I can, I'm going Patrick Mahomes, and here's why. He's a better athlete, and he's been more durable. My concern about Burrow is he's been hurt, and while the offensive line has improved, that would concern me. So I'll take the best player on the planet. Thank you very much, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, look at you. And the Bengals are just getting better, man. This offseason, they really bolstered their O-line, adding three starters, the latest, Lael Collins from the Cowboys. So two of the divisions in the conference are loaded. According to Caesars, six of the seven teams with the shortest odds to win the conference reside in either the North or the West division. So let's keep kind of that same energy here. The AFC. Jam-pack. We've talked about it all morning long, specifically the AFC West or the AFC North, of course, here. So, guys, Tim, I'll start with you. Which team will be left out of the playoffs of these teams that have been reloading?
This was impossible to do. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say the Ravens. And in some ways, kind of piggybacking off of Jeremy's answer about what quarterback you would choose to win a game, I still believe that it's a passing league. And I think being able to be a consistent passer, being healthy enough to play, all of those factors still ring true. They have been true for a long time. And so, you know, for that reason, and the season that we just saw Lamar Jackson have and the struggles that team had, I would say the Ravens are the team left out.
The Ravens, no respect. They were banged up so terribly last year. Everyone was hurt.
Listen, I'm not saying it's easy and I feel super confident about it. I'm just saying if you're making me choose one, I'm choosing the Ravens.
Harbaugh, Lamar, they're just licking their chops. All right, Mike T, one team that will be left out of the playoffs. Who you got?
I'll go to the Denver Broncos. And I agree with Tim. This is ridiculously hard. Yeah. I love what they've done. Russell Wilson, Randy Gregory, and to me, the tiebreaker is the inexperience of the head coach. I think Nathaniel Hackett, over time, could certainly be a good head coach, but when you're going against the John Harbaughs of the world, Josh McDaniels, Andy Reid, I just think there's going to be a learning curve here. So to me, the tiebreaker is going to be the lack of experience of the head coach. But boy, this is a really hard question.
Okay, so Ravens, Broncos, AFC West, AFC North. What team gets left out of the playoffs, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm going to go Raiders. I can't believe I'm saying this because they made the playoffs last year, and they just added Chandler Jones and Devontae Adams, and I'm picking against them. Defense, though, still a few questions I have. Offensive line, a few questions. And Mike T mentioned the Broncos. We've been waiting for like 5 or 6 years for them to get that offensive explosion. Defense has always been really good. Now you get Russell Wilson. I think once that explosion happens, it happens in a big way, and they beat out the Raiders in what will be a close like 9 or 10 win range for both those teams.
Okay, so Raiders, Ravens, Broncos. Where are you going, Kimberly? Who's missing the playoffs?
Who should I side with? I'm actually going to go with my guy, Mike T. I'm going to say the Broncos, and it was tough. It was between the Raiders and the Broncos just because of that division. I think somebody in that division is going to be left out. But I love the Raiders' skill position. Like Devontae Adams plus Waller, Hunter Renfro, Josh Jacobs, like who exactly are you not going to cover? And I think adding Devontae is going to make Derek Carr so much better. I'm a big Derek Carr believer, so I think the Raiders are going to make the playoffs for sure.
So let's stay with the Broncos here because, well, I am not a believer that they're going to miss the playoffs. We have been talking about this Broncos team being a quarterback away from finally competing and finally making noise in the postseason. Now they have that quarterback in Russell Wilson. We've got people like Kimberly and Mike T saying they're actually not going to make the postseason. And so now I feel like all of the pressure that was on this Rams team last year to deliver a Super Bowl maybe moves to the Broncos. Like, what would be expected to be a successful season, Mike T, there in Denver?
Oh, they have to make the playoffs and win at least one playoff game. And Jeremy mentioned it. This is a team that's had the nucleus of a good defense. Now, they lost their head coach, Vic Fangio, who's an outstanding defensive coach. They should be really good on defense, though, adding Randy Gregory. Mm-hmm. And the expectations are massive because of all the capital they gave up to get Russell Wilson.
Jeremy, what do you think?
So the Broncos are interesting because you talk to people around the league, they really say the roster is legitimate. Like, it is probably a top 10 roster, and they've had this revolving door of quarterbacks. We mentioned the Rams and how they took the jump with Matthew Stafford, but they had Sean McVay as their head coach along with Jared Goff, who was capable. The Broncos have had defensive coaches, and now they have Nathaniel Hackett. You pair an offensive mind with Russell Wilson. Playoffs are the expectation. I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl, but they haven't been making the cut. They've been in that 7 to 8 win range. I think they'll get more to that 9 or 10 win range.
Yeah, I think the scary thing about this is that the division, right? So when you say like, hey, this is what your expectations are, and I think it's fair to say, yeah, you know what? I mean, you got a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and you said that like the rest of this roster is great, and that's what's holding it back. But then all of a sudden you look at the schedule and you're like, well, shoot, you get Mahomes twice, you get Derek Carr twice. Like the reality is that, like, there's going to be a huge disappointment somewhere in that division. There will be because of the talent across the board. But, look, I think if you're not making the playoffs after going and acquiring Russell Wilson, yeah, that's a significant disappointment.
Kimberly, what's a successful season in Denver? What do you think?
I mean, you go all in on Russell because you're trying to win a Super Bowl. But like the guys are saying, it's a murderer's row just to get out of their own division. Like it's similar to how we used to talk about the AFC North. The AFC North would beat up on each other, and then you know have to fight other teams in the AFC. I think somebody's going to be left out. I don't. The road is just too difficult for the AFC West teams. I think we slept on the Chiefs a little bit last year. Mahomes is the best QB, and so I don't. That's why I'm not as confident in the Broncos, despite all the moves that they have made. I just think a successful season is getting to the playoffs, but they went all in to win a Super Bowl. But can they? I don't know.
I mean, we're all just like banking on Justin Herbert and Derek Carr here in the postseason. I mean, they haven't proven anything in the postseason. And if you look at Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, they have the same number of Super Bowl rings. So to me, it is a very even playing field. And also, Hembo pointed something out to me that I think is very important. The last two Super Bowl winners, Rams and Bucks, were both just a quarterback away. And look what they ended up doing. So we'll see what comes up for the Denver Broncos. All right, coming up here on Get Up, Devontae Adams is headed out west. Did Aaron Rodgers' hopes of a second Super Bowl appearance leave with him, perhaps? We'll dive into that next here on Get Up. But before we do that, we have a little sneaky Hembo time. Here is the question for our one Tim Hasselbeck. Which player has caught the most touchdown passes from Derek Carr in his NFL career? Tim's going to ponder. Stare, think about it, and we'll get back to him in just a little bit next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, back on Get Up here now. Remember, this was the sneaky Hembo trivia before we went to break. Which player has caught the most touchdowns from Derek Carr in his NFL playing career? Tim Hasselbeck, you've had time to think.
I have.
He's tried to cheat, and I haven't let him.
I've tried to cheat.
He's trying to bounce ideas off people.
I'm just talking through things. I do feel like Amari Cooper's kind of been in the news too much for him to be the answer. Kind of wanted to go with him. Waller, I feel like, has missed too much time. And so I'm going Michael Crabtree for the answer on this one.
I swear no one gave him the answer, but he is correct.
Hey! Yes!
The correct
You know why
answer.
That's good? Is I can't remember anyone else that's played with them.
Is Michael Crabtree at 24. Amari Cooper, who you also mentioned, right behind him with 18. Then Renfro, who was mentioned in here also,
really?
Is behind Amari Cooper. But you were right with
Darren
Michael
Waller
Crabtree.
Darren Waller not even close, huh?
Yeah. Darren Waller only has 12. Crabtree doubles with 24. All right. Recapping the big news from last week. Star wide receiver Devontae Adams was traded to the Las Vegas Raiders from the Green Bay Packers. Adams took to social media to express his gratitude in Green Bay. And so this is what he posted on Instagram in part, because it was quite long. To the city of Green Bay and its fans, putting on the green and gold jersey and competing for you has been one of the greatest honors of my life. From day one, you welcomed a kid from the Bay with open arms and made me and my family feel home there. I can never repay you for your gratitude, but just know that this city will forever hold a special place in my heart. And so let's bring back in here Kimberly and Mike T. And so, Kimberly, your reaction now that you've had a minute to really think about this, about Devontae Adams leaving Green Bay and what this means for the Packers this season.
I think a lot of us were on board with the Packers because of that Last Dance vibe, because it was Aaron and Adams. That tandem, that synergy was special, and that's what made this team. You could talk about, not enough weapons or whatever. Those two were special, and to not have Adams, I understand Aaron Rodgers can make anybody around him better, but there's a difference when you go from the best receiver in the NFL to a young guy that's been drafted, or if you bring back a Marquez, a Valdes-Scantling. There's a difference. There is a drop-off, this makes me a little nervous about the Packers. I still see the Rams and the Bucks as the teams to beat in the NFC. I see the Packers behind them. And the Packers, to me, a week ago, getting Rodgers, and the thought was, well, Devontae will be back too. Cool. This could be a team that could win the Super Bowl. I don't feel as confident now.
Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't like it at all short term for the Packers, and here's why. Devontae Adams is unbelievably productive. He has 73 touchdowns in his career, over 12 yards per catch. Long term, I like it, but when we're all in this year, bring back Devontae Adams. They have two first-round picks, and I'll be very specific here. They may come away with the best receiver in this year's draft, Jameson Williams. He may be there at 22 because he tore his ACL. Long term, that's a great move. But that is the exact opposite of the approach of all in to give Aaron Rodgers a chance to win this year. And I blame Aaron Rodgers because of the timing he took. The day that Tom Clements, their quarterback coach, said he was coming back, the next day he should have signed, gotten the money he deserved. That's all been discussed. But get on the plane and start recruiting Devontae Adams because he gives them the best chance to win this year, which is what they're all about right now with an aging Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Jeremy, what's next for Green Bay now that Devontae Adams is not there anymore?
Yeah, well, they're going to save $20 million and try to go get a stud wide receiver. So it's amazing some of the impact that these wide receivers league-wide are having coming out of the draft. You got Justin Jefferson, you got A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, all these guys, Ja'Marr Chase, of course. The Packers feel like, hey, we got two first-round picks. We can maybe move up and get a guy we love. We can let a player fall to us in the first or second round. I expect them to reload that position, and they're still looking at options. They were in, I'm told, on Allen Robinson. They at least kind of poked around there last week before he signed to the Rams. They still have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, one of the top remaining free agent wide receivers. They would like to bring him back on maybe a 1 or 2 year deal, let him develop more chemistry with Aaron Rodgers.
What do you think? Are the Packers still going to be as good as they have been, at least in the regular season in the last few years, without Devontae Adams?
I think it's a good likelihood that they will be. And listen, I'm not here to say that Devontae Adams wasn't a superstar. He absolutely was. And he, look, Aaron's on record as saying he's the best player that Aaron's ever played with. So I don't want to minimize the fact that he's gone. That being said, look, I think it was going to be hard to keep him in their current situation. You've seen the number. Now they're, you know, over $20 million yeah. under the cap. There are other players you can go get. And the best thing you can say about a quarterback is that he makes the guys around him better. And while I don't think there'll be another wide receiver on their roster this year that's really even close to as good as Devontae Adams, yeah. I think the collective whole of the group and the way that Aaron will be able to elevate the play around him is significant enough that it was the right move for Green Bay. So, you know, I keep going back to Aaron's production over the last four seasons. Aaron is that good. Like, Devontae Adams didn't yeah. make Aaron Rodgers. And you could actually make the argument yeah. on some level that Aaron made him.
Yeah.
So he came in the league. He wasn't a first-round draft pick when he came into the league. Like, so there is an element to this where, you know, I think it's more about Aaron than about losing Devontae.
Okay, the only thing I'm going to say to this, though, in terms, yes, you can move on from a star wide receiver because there's so many now coming out of the draft, right? Like, it's easy to reload. It's not the Packers when they play in the NFC North that worries me. When they play the Bears and the Lions yeah. and the Vikings, yes, we get it. Aaron Rodgers can own them. But it's when later in the season you have to play teams like the Bills, like the Rams, like the Bucks, like the Eagles that can spread you out and maybe score more points than you because they have more talent around their quarterback. That's what makes me nervous for Green Bay at this point.
I feel like Green Bay made the decision. Our problem is an offense. Like, if we want to keep Rasul Douglas, who had an amazing postseason and, or, you know, end of the season and end of the postseason, like, if you want to do that so that those teams you're mentioning, you know, aren't scoring 40 on you, like, you have to make some hard decisions. And I think that you say, look, it's much easier to find a receiver in the draft that's going to be really good, think of the names Jeremy mentioned,
yeah.
than it is to find a corner.
Yes.
And so I think that you make those decisions based on the replacement caliber player you could find in the draft.
Mike T, what do you think?
Yeah, the only part I would disagree with Tim on is, well, that's true long term. The Packers themselves franchised Devontae Adams for a reason. He's a great player right now. So while longer term, yeah. there's a great resource allocation discussion about spread the wealth, load up on defense, Aaron Rodgers will make people better. I get that and for the most part agree with it, except that everything they're doing is about this year. Their quarterback coach came out of retirement. Aaron Rodgers is year to year. And the other problem they have is if they were going to go in the trade market like someone like a DK Metcalf because Seattle is rebuilding, I think they're going to have trouble getting younger receivers to want to go there because they don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. And that's why I would have kept Adams. I would have made him sign an offer sheet with the Raiders. I probably would have matched it. And if not, I would have came away with two ones instead of one and a two.
Do you think it was a big mistake, Kimberly, that then now, or can they just go reload in the draft?
I mean, you can always say that. The thing is, we always love the draft, but the draft is, it's about unproven commodities, right? It's unproven talent. We can forecast what we think guys will be, but you know what you have in Devontae Adams. And the only reason I say I feel like Green Bay didn't play this right is because Devontae wanted more money last year, and they said no. And now you're in a situation where you wanted to keep him, but now he's done. He's done as he watched you sort of, you know, kowtow to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, Aaron, whatever you want, we'll give you. Well, obviously that burns some bridges.
All right, we'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, the Packers, all the things later on. But for now, we need to go to the NBA because there was a game last night between the 76ers and the Raptors. Joel Embiid doing what Joel Embiid does. He was impressive in this one. We pick it up second quarter. Sixers up by three. Embiid drives, finishes with the reverse layup. Beautiful finish here by Embiid as he continues to make his case for MVP. Sixers would trail by three at the half. Fourth quarter is where we're going to go now. Under 7 minutes to play, and the Sixers at this point down three. Embiid drives, somehow is going to get this thing to go and the foul. And then after a made free throw, we're going to tie this ball game up at 82 apiece. So now under three to play. Raptors up one. That's Siakam. Nice fadeaway jumper. It's good to go. Raptors go up by three. 7 seconds to play. Sixers down two. This is when things are falling apart here. James Harden drives, called for a charge, and it's going to be officially deemed a flagrant one on Harden, and the timing couldn't be worse because the Raptors would hold on to win this thing 93-88. And so the Sixers were outscored 24-14 in the fourth quarter last night. And so Tim Legler back here with us on Get Up. And when you think about that, do you think that's just a blip or is this something to be concerned about if you're a Sixers fan?
Now, it was ugly last night, and it is absolutely cause for concern because I think they're too Harden-centric in those moments. And I know you brought James Harden in to put you at a different place offensively and to bring you in this elite level playmaker, but it cannot be all about James Harden. This isn't the Houston Rockets of 4 or 5 years ago. You've got Joel Embiid on this roster. You've got Tyrese Maxey on this roster. They need to be included. And Joel Embiid, I feel like, tends to drift out as he wants to touch the basketball because James Harden is dominating it so much from the middle of the floor. He had careless turnovers. He was very predictable. It is a concern for Philadelphia because I'm worried about their depth and their shooting if this is how they're going to play. Because I think James Harden is not the player that he was several years ago in Houston. It's a little bit different for an older guard now. He's not as overwhelming physically. He doesn't get to the rim quite as quickly as he did. I think you can force him into some inefficient nights. When that's the case, you should be playing through Joel Embiid regardless. And Maxey, to me, is the key to the entire thing. He's such a talented player. He's such a spark. He played the entire fourth quarter with really no imprint whatsoever on what they were doing offensively. I think he defers too much to the stars because he's a young guy just kind of feeling himself out in this league. He needs to be much more included in what they do offensively. So, yeah, I'm concerned, and people in Philadelphia right now are a little bit concerned too.
To your point, too, James Harden, I mean, he was terrible in the fourth quarter. 9 minutes, didn't make a shot, turned the ball over four times, and obviously couldn't come up in the clutch. But now at this point, as we inch closer and closer to the postseason, what do you need to see from the 76ers that maybe will give you a little bit more hope?
Yeah, I just want to see them run their offense through Joel Embiid in tight games, in one-possession games. And I think their pace needs to be a little bit better. When they play faster and they're more decisive early and they don't stand and watch James Harden play, they're a much more difficult team to defend. I think right now what I'm concerned about is when you look at Philadelphia since they acquired Harden, most of their success has come against poor defensive teams. When they're playing against teams that are well-prepared, well-coached, and have the type of personnel to bother them, you see them bogged down offensively, and that's what I'm concerned about. It's all about ball movement and making sure more guys are included, and it's not just about watching James Harden try to close the deal by himself. Joel Embiid, to this point, I still believe he has a grip on the MVP. I think somebody put baby oil on it. It's hard to hold on to right now. It's slipping through his fingers, but you still have the MVP, I think, on your roster. he needs to be the primary focus of what they do in tight games in the fourth quarter if they want to have playoff success.
Well, maybe he can do that tonight because they've got a tall task in the Heat. Let's go to the West and what's going on with the Lakers. On Saturday night in D.C., LeBron James became the NBA's second leading scorer all time, passing Hall of Famer Karl Malone. LeBron James finished with 38 points and a 127-119 loss to the Wizards, and the Lakers fell to 11 games under 500. So, yes, LeBron's milestone spoiled by Washington's comeback, but why can't this team and the Lakers, why can't they win games when LeBron is playing at the level that he is?
Well, you have to string together stops defensively when you're in this type of situation. And despite the gaudy numbers LeBron has been putting up trying to carry this team and even getting some help a lot of nights, Westbrook has had some really good offensive games as well for all the, you know, all he's gotten this year, the criticism he's gotten. Bottom line is they can't stop anybody. They don't instill fear in anybody. They're not physical. They don't pressure the basketball. So any team they play gets very comfortable quickly because you can cut where you want to. You have freedom of movement. You're taking uncontested shots. You're getting what you want in transition. They're just not a good defensive team. And when you're in this situation, you're trying to make up ground and solidify your playoff footing, you have to be able to stop people, and they just can't do it. And I think they believe Anthony Davis is going to be the be-all to catch-all when he comes back. And it's just, it's not enough. It's too late. He's not going to have enough time.
Okay, well, so let's stay with that same energy here. The Lakers have a 2.5 game cushion for that final play-in spot. And I know you don't think bringing Anthony Davis back could be the be-all, end-all, but can he at least help their hopes in terms of them maybe winning a game in the postseason?
He's a Band-Aid. He's not a tourniquet, okay? He's not going to stop the bleeding, okay? The profuse bleeding that's going on with the Lakers right now. Look, he makes up for a lot. You're talking about a super talented guy on both ends of the floor, but they went through this last year. He missed a big chunk of time, tried to come back against Phoenix, and really broke down immediately, and they got bounced coming out of the seventh spot. I actually think they're in serious danger of losing that 9-10 matchup and going home after one game, which is almost unthinkable. A team with LeBron James on it playing this well, Russell Westbrook, and potentially even a healthy Anthony Davis coming back. And I still think they could lose to a hot team with momentum like New Orleans if they end up in that situation. But even if they survive that, you've got to go play Phoenix, Golden State, or Memphis. Somebody like that in the first round, I don't see them making it past the first round of the postseason regardless.
Right, which one of those teams much more complete, much more cohesive, of course, at this point. All right, Tim Legler, thank you so much. We have another star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader this week, and ESPN is where you can find it and on the app. KD and Kyrie and the Nets take on the Grizzlies and John Moran, who hope to play in this one. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Then it's out to L.A. for our West Coast primetime game between Joel Embiid, James Harden, and the Sixers, and LeBron James and the Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Coming up, the NFL quarterback carousel still turning. Just where will these signal callers land, and could one of them turn a franchise into an immediate contender?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's go on the clock, 30 seconds each. Mike, we'll start with you and Matt Ryan, because now obviously no more Deshaun Watson going to Atlanta. And so what's the best place for Matt Ryan to go?
Well, Shay, one thing we know is BC quarterbacks don't age well. And Matt Ryan has played in his dome his whole career, and I think the Indianapolis Colts would be absolutely ideal for him because, you know, they lack arm strength. So in all seriousness, with that offensive line and a really good running game, I think he's tailor-made, a lot like Phillip Rivers, which was a very successful signing for the Colts. So Matt Ryan for the Colts.
All right, you can yell at
Sounds
my team.
Sounds like Mike has a lot of regret for not drafting Matt Ryan. I think there's a few spots where he could have picked him. I think it would have worked out here to like that
I was going to give you Jimmy G. You can take that, or you can take your 30
listen,
seconds
I will
into
take,
other
I
things.
I just take shots at Mike. As tempting as that is, I will talk Jimmy G. Listen, Mike mentioned the team. The team that I think all of these quarterbacks want to go to or should want to go to and would be the best fit is the Colts. And so yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo with the Colts is a perfect fit. Just look at the team. Like, they have an excellent offensive line, one of the best runners in football, a really good defense. I think most people think that it's a well-coached team. And so I think for Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, the fit there would be perfect, much like it would be good for Matt Ryan, much like it would be good for other quarterbacks. But, yeah, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, that's where I want to end up.
Okay, your buzzer has rung. Kimberly, to you next. The best landing spot for Baker Mayfield, where do you think he should go?
Baker needs to hit reset on the opposite end of the country, away from everything. Seattle. That's where he needs to go. That's an organization looking to rebuild, and Baker needs to rebuild his football career and his image. Forget about everybody else and what wasn't fair. Your play, that dictates everything. And I think he's a very good quarterback, should be a starter. He can ball out in Seattle, I think.
See, I feel torn on the Baker Mayfield thing. This is like half of me wants to say, like, can we stop being kind of a baby about this? And then the other half does feel for him with all the coaching changes and inconsistency that's gone on in Cleveland. But anyways, we'll save that for another day. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Jeremy, what's the latest you're hearing?
Well, I'm hearing that the Colts are his preferred destination, but the Colts are looking at all their options. They're even looking at free agency with Jameis Winston. They're looking at some of the trades we just mentioned. So they have not made a firm decision yet. Talk to some execs around the league who believe maybe a package, including a third round pick, that's conditional, can get you to a second-round pick if he plays the whole season and plays well. But the Browns don't have a lot of leverage here because of the acquisition of Deshaun Watson. So they're really giving it up to his agent as well to try to figure out what the best spot is for him. Seattle is a wild card here. I know they've at least explored it internally. Nothing formal yet, but they're a team that has some mild interest here. There are some connections. Alonzo Highsmith is an executive with the team who helped draft Baker Mayfield number one overall. So he'll want to go to somewhere where a team believes in him. And people I talked to are really torn about this guy. Some people around the league still really like him. Some are sort of concerned by some of the attitude things we've seen recently in the news.
Man, if he thought he was getting disrespected by Cleveland, how about this now? Half the league is unsure about Baker Mayfield. Where do you think the best landing spot is for him?
Well, I think it's the Colts, because I think the Colts are the best team. Now, I don't think the Colts are going to be like, he's not going to be the Colts' choice. Like, and that, I think, goes to Jeremy's point of, okay, well, how is he viewed? I think that some people maybe believe that he can still be a starter and that maybe, you know, he can be a better player than he's been. You know, health does have to be a little bit of a concern considering the shoulder injury this past season. I think the most likely scenario is that he doesn't walk in as the anointed starter somewhere. I think that's where we are with Baker in his career. So take Seattle as the example. Yeah. There, it's like, all right, and think about how Pete Carroll is. It's like, hey, compete every day, compete every day. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. Hey, we're going to split this up. Drew Locke, half the reps, Baker, half the reps. Like, I can see, I feel like that's the most likely scenario. And I think there's a good chance that he could win that job. But I don't think that he is going to be the preferred option for Indianapolis.
Yeah, and they like Drew Locke, too. That's a bit of a wild card there. Like, he could very well start for Seattle next year.
Okay, but I can't believe where we come, because I don't necessarily disagree with you, Tim. Mike T, think about a year ago when we were talking about Baker Mayfield possibly getting this max big contract, and now this year we're talking about him possibly not being the anointed starter in somewhere like Seattle, where we feel like they're almost rebuilding. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. He bet on himself and lost. And if I was talking to Baker Mayfield, I would give him three examples. Tyrod Taylor literally had his lung punctured, never went public with anything. Jimmy G takes a team to the Super Bowl, and a team trades up multiple first-round picks for Trey Lance. Matt Ryan has a roster bonus pushed back. None of those quarterbacks were treated, you could say, fairly or whatever, but they never said anything publicly, and that's what you want from a quarterback position. You want a battlefield commander, someone that's going to solve problems, not create them. And I'll put one other team into this discussion, guys. Carolina. Matt Rhule has to win this year. Yeah. I think if Baker Mayfield went there, long handoffs to Christian McCaffrey. They have DJ Moore. And to me, it's a desperate quarterback and a desperate coach. And sometimes that works out best, even though it may not be ideal long term. But hopefully Baker Mayfield can learn from this and he can have the next segment of his career be better than the first part.
Yeah, it sounds to me like, hey, Kimberly, if he doesn't go to the Colts or Seattle, like, really, he could not be a starter in the National Football League at this point. I mean, and maybe he's competing for a spot with the Seahawks, but is that a possibility?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why Baker's so fascinating to me, because I'm a big Baker fan, but even asking people around the league on other teams, you know, they were telling me, I'd rather have Jimmy G. Like, I don't want Baker. I don't think he's any good. And so I think Baker has to sort of, this has to be a humbling moment for him, but that can be a good thing. You have to understand how you're viewed outside. Forget the Browns. Move on from the Browns, because they've moved on from you. Like, you got to think about how you are viewed and what your future is and what's the best step forward. So go in, you're a walk-on. Go in with that same mentality wherever you land. That same guy that I watched beat Pittsburgh in week 16 and then beat him in the wild card, you know, make the playoffs for the first time in forever, that guy is still in Baker, and that's what he needs to tap back into.
I wonder, though, if he goes to the Colts, like, the Colts just got rid of Carson Wentz for not being that leader that they wanted in the locker room.
That's,
like, it might be a little bit more of the same if he were to go to Indianapolis. All right, coming up after us is First Take, and they're going to discuss what the Deshaun Watson trade means for the Browns. Plus, does Duke look like a Final Four team after last night's victory? Join Stephen A., Molly, Kimberly Martin, and Seth Greenberg at the top of the hour.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The NCAA Women's Championship second round continues today on ESPN, with Kansas State squaring off against number 1 seeded NC State at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Then Tennessee takes on Belmont at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, followed by UCF and UConn. All games also available on the app, so you can watch anywhere. Quickly, Fowler, before we say goodbye, anything we should be keeping an eye on today?
Well, Matt Ryan, that's a big one. He's got a $7.5 million roster bonus due today. That could heighten some urgency with any potential trades. Teams have called. They're interested.
Ooh, we'll see. See you later, everyone. Bye. Have a good day.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.